This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Today, Charlotte witnesses a transfer of leadership from one mayor and city council to the next. And so this hour, we spend time talking with our outgoing and our incoming mayors. Mayor-elect Vi Lyles joins us later in the program, but we begin with Jennifer Roberts, who ends her two-year term today. Welcome back to the program. Nice to see you.
Good to be here.
You can join us on Facebook. You can join us by email at charlottetalks@wfae.org. You can join us through Twitter @charlottetalks, or you can watch us on Facebook Live this morning. How do you feel today? Is this kind of a relief, or is it a painful moment in history for you?
Well, I think it's bittersweet, but I feel really good about the new council and mayor, and I feel really good about where we have brought our city in 2 years through some challenging times. We are incredibly resilient. We have an amazing staff. We are known nationally for being a leader in so many aspects of city government. So, it's bittersweet. I would have liked to have some more time to finish some initiatives, but I feel pretty positive for our city.
When you look back on your 2 years, they were pretty turbulent, and some of those, I suppose you could say, were not of your making, and others perhaps were. How many of those moments were because of something you wish you hadn't done now?
Charlotte became the central player in a national discussion on equality. And it wasn't something that we did not anticipate being, having the overreach of our state government and preempting us on our ability to protect our own citizens, to talk about non-discrimination. We did not foresee that. The state did not foresee that backlash. But we became central to that national discussion. And when you look at what happened in the elections this past month in states across the country with transgender individuals being elected to serve and represent, it's amazing that Charlotte was at that place at that time. And I feel very proud of that.
Mm-hmm. The other big controversy was, of course, not of your making at all. It was the shooting by police of Keith Lamont Scott and the ensuing disturbances that rose out of that. And I guess we all discovered a lot about our community that we perhaps were ignoring or didn't know. You were criticized heavily, however, for how you handled that and with some of the things you said about police, about being more transparent, and people felt that you threw the police chief under the bus and spent too much time talking to national media versus local media or communicating with citizens directly. When you look back on that, how do you assess your performance then?
Well, all of those things you just mentioned are incorrect and were put out by my opponents. And when you stand up for things, you make some enemies. So I was on the streets every night, and I never mentioned the police chief. I said, our city, and I put myself in there, we need to be more transparent. And you know what? After this past year, what is the thing our chief said he's most proud of? More transparency in the department, but also more transparency in our city. One of the biggest challenges you have is getting information to the public in an era where information is everywhere, but everybody has different ways of getting it. Mm-hmm. And so we have done so many, transparency workshops. We've had use of force demonstrations for the media. We've put it on the internet. We have had community meetings and community outreach. We've had meet and eat. We've had on the table. We've had so many conversations with our community. We are much more transparent, and we get information out faster.
You told Taylor Batten with The Observer that the city was not prepared for the protest. What did you mean by that? That we were not prepared for what, for that specific protest or for protests in general?
We had never seen a protest like that. And in the era of social media, it was unfolding differently than any protest in the past, and this is true nationwide. So again, we were at that critical point where there had been a number of incidents in other parts of the country that culminated in Charlotte. But that was very fluid because of social media. The police had not had to respond to something like that before. But we learned, and this constructive conversation unit that grew out of learning how to engage with citizens and how to confront aggression and de-escalate it, that has all been improved tremendously. So, and we also weren't prepared for communicating. There was confusion over what did the curfew mean. There was confusion, lack of updates to some council members at critical times. I was uptown every day for like 20 hours, but a lot of the council members weren't, and we have again improved on that communication and with the public. So we weren't prepared for a demonstration of that size and of that fluidity, but we are in a much better shape now. We are incredibly resilient, and we are working with those kinds of crises in a much better way.
I'm trying to remember the timeline of what happened before you took office 2 years ago with regard to what ultimately ended up being HB2. The city had voted down an ordinance, an LGBT ordinance, but then when you came to office, they voted it in, which led to the legislature passing HB2. Did you know before taking office that that was one of the things that you wanted to do, to revisit that issue?
We had a year of campaigning where most groups asked us expressly, mm-hmm. are you going to support that? And the council as well. And there was a turnover of a few folks on the council, and that vote did change. But you're right, that vote came up before I was ever mayor. I was carrying through, again, I think a great progressive stance the city made to support acceptance, inclusion, and equality for all people, that was following 200 other cities in America, including many of our competing cities like Atlanta, Columbia, South Carolina, et cetera, who had already done non-discrimination ordinances like that. So I was, during that year, we all promised to bring that vote up again.
Did you or council think that that this would result in the legislature slapping you down with HB2?
Nobody foresaw the extent they would slap us down.
And Charlotte got punished for this. I mean, not just by the legislature, but by companies and organizations that canceled events in Charlotte, even because of what North Carolina was doing by passing HB2. As mayor, did you have conversations with the ACC and the NCAA and say, look, we tried to do what you want us to do right now, and we can't? And if you had those conversations, what was their response?
I worked very hard during that entire time to market our city, to say Charlotte did the right thing. Charlotte is a city that includes everyone, that's focused on equality. We're a welcoming, hospitable city. People know that. And the National League of Cities just brought 4,000 elected officials from all over the country here because they stand with our city and what we did. In fact, they were asked, would you have come even if HB2 had not been partially repealed? And they said, yes. We stand with cities who stand up for what's right, who stand up for supporting their entire population, not discriminating, including everyone, because that's what a public entity does. That's what is going to make us economically competitive, and it's the right thing to do morally.
You told the Observer, Steve Harrison, that some have called you the Harvey Milk of the East Coast. For those who don't know, Harvey Milk was the first openly elected official in the state of California, elected to the San Francisco Board of Advisors. You think that's a fair comparison?
Well, I'm certainly a very strong straight ally, and Harvey Milk is legendary, so I would not put myself in that category. But I am. I'm glad to have been part of that conversation on equality. Our country is moving forward in that way, and sometimes it's a challenge, and it's rough along the way, but you have to stand against bullies sometimes, and you have to stand up for everybody.
Hindsight is 20/20. Had you known the legislature would pass HB2 and we'd be involved in this very long back and forth and losing business, not only here but around North Carolina, and building this national reputation among people who only peripherally follow the news as being a state that's unwelcoming as the result of what you tried to be as welcoming, would you have done it? Would you have encouraged council to vote in favor of the ordinance that led to HB2?
People still need to remember that it was the state that passed the overreaching law that prohibited local governments from protecting their own citizens from discrimination. It was the state that erred. It was the state that overreached, not what Charlotte did. Charlotte was not being radical. Charlotte was following what other cities had done to be competitive in the 21st century and to do what is right to protect our citizens. Mm-hmm. So it was the state that did something wrong.
Is this a case of a leader doing what they think is right and essentially damn the torpedoes full speed ahead? Is that what this is for you?
Again, no one foresaw the extent of that reaction from the state. It surprised everyone. And I'm hoping that they're thinking that they probably went too far.
Would you do it again?
You know, I don't get involved in those conversations because all the what ifs, you know, you're in a certain place in a certain time, things come together and no one can foresee, you know, if you've done something differently, what might have happened.
So we spent some time looking at some of the painful moments. When we come back, we're going to take some time and look at some of the accomplishments that you feel very proud of in your two-year tenure as mayor. Jennifer Roberts, our guest in this first part of the program. Later on, we'll meet the incoming mayor of Vi-Lyles. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Mayor Jennifer Roberts is our guest for the next few minutes here before we meet Vi-Lyles. Aside from the controversies that we've just spent 15 minutes talking about, assess your performance as mayor. What letter grade would you give yourself?
I look at the results that we've gotten in our city. I look at the fact that the first half of this year, we've had the best job growth we've had in 5 years. Over 17,000 jobs created while I was mayor. One of our biggest jobs announcement that we've ever had in Charlotte with Allstate, 2,400 jobs. We look at having approved about 3,000 affordable housing units, really accelerating our housing there. We look at the fact that we're the number one millennial magnet in the country. We're a great place to start a small business. We get on the top five of so many different lists for economic development, for opportunity, for progress. We have challenges, but our national reputation is very strong. And when I look back at the last 2 years, we showed incredible resilience in overcoming the two challenges we just talked about,
right,
and continuing to bring companies here, continuing to maintain that reputation of being welcoming and hospitable, and growing our tourism industry along with many other industries, including financial technology, which I focused on.
One of the things that you like to talk about, I know, is Charlotte Next, which is an after-school program that you helped create or nurtured, or I'm not sure what the right word is there. Charlotte Next is an after-school program that didn't exist.
Correct.
Do you think a lot of people know about that?
Well, you try very hard to get your positive news out, but something about you guys, you just always go for the conflict.
Thank you very much.
So we've done a lot for our youth. We have grown the Mayor's Youth Employment Program, which is getting our young people into real jobs that lead to careers. We started Charlotte Next, and that was an initiative that I helped get going after convening about 400 educators parents and young people to talk about that after-school time, mm-hmm, the time between 3 and 6 when our chief will say that kids have the most danger of getting into trouble.
Right.
But we know if they're doing something positive, it's structured, they also have the best supplement to what they're doing in the classroom that keeps them in school, keeps their grades up. And so Charlotte Next is going to serve up to 1,000 middle schoolers this year with after-school programs.
We spoke, you probably don't remember this, but we spoke shortly after you took office 2 years ago, and one of the things you talked about was you pledged to bring equal pay to female workers working for the city. Were you able to do that?
We have improved. What we did is we studied the difference, and actually the city is doing much better than the average in the country. Women are paid 90 cents on the dollar, and we added paid family leave, which is going to make a huge difference because folks won't have to take a pay cut when they have a baby. And that's, by the way, not just for mothers, it's also for fathers. We also raised the minimum wage for any city employee to $15 an hour. So we are working on valuing every employee, mm-hmm, and valuing them equally, working to close that gender gap and to make sure that we are modeling that for other employers.
This year's election, many people have said, is an election about change because we have so many new members of city council coming in tonight. We have a new mayor coming in tonight. How much of this do you think was due to the tumult of the past 2 years? Or how much of it is due to what is happening right now politically in Washington?
You know, there are elements of a lot of different things that go into elections, and, you know, everything from the national mood to turnout to, as you say, a sense of a need for change. I haven't, done the calculus on how all those different things weighed in because I keep looking forward. And
but you have said this was not about change. This is not a change election in your mind. You told the Charlotte Business Journal that you see Vi Lyle's election and the election of the 9-2 Democratic majority on council as a continuation of your values and your work. You still believe that?
Absolutely.
Talk about
continuation
that.
Is further progress. And so if you look at the willingness of the young people to shake things up, to challenge some things, to bring progress, maybe even accelerate some progress, that's what I've been working toward mm-hmm. the past 2 years in pushing for things like transparency, more community engagement, more openness, opening the mayor's office to a lot of different groups who haven't felt included before, not just the LGBT community, but the international community. You know, we've had a national conversation that's been very anti-immigrant. And I have had so much work done with the Latino community. I speak Spanish. I've been in that community a lot. But also with the Asian American community, with the African American community, so many groups that haven't felt included before. So we have been leading the way toward a progressive inclusion that makes the real public and public service stand out.
The average person may not see how many hours you and your predecessors put into this, and I'm sure Vi Lyle's will be doing it too beginning tonight, but how many hours that you put in, you kind of approach this like a 24-7 job. Pat McCrory did as well for 14 years, approached it like a 24-7 job. Has the time come for the Charlotte mayor to be a full-time job for somebody?
Well, it is a full-time job. And
well, yes, but I mean officially a full-time job, paid full-time,
well,
et cetera.
Remember, we're in a state where the state legislature has the authority over cities. Mm-hmm. And if that's a conversation that Charlotte's going to have, it's going to happen in other cities as well. Mm-hmm. Charlotte, the state doesn't like it when Charlotte tries to be unique and different. We want to be like other cities. But that conversation may be something that needs to happen. What I would like to see more is the ability of cities to manage their own destiny, to have more autonomy, more ability to protect their citizens, to plan and develop and grow the way that they see best and not be preempted by the state.
Has the time come for the mayor to have a vote on council, a regular vote? Every vote, you vote.
Well, you'd have to change the council. That would make it an even number, and then you wouldn't be able to break a tie. Be 6-6. So that's again a conversation.
What I'm saying here is it time to give the mayor more than figurehead power? I will tell you this. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Vi Lyle's is right behind you right now, and she's saying no.
I think there are more urgent priorities in our community. If you look at, you know, housing and jobs and transportation, all those things that we're working on are bigger priorities.
You presided over the departure of Ron Carley as the city manager. Ron Carley was brought in, I believe, by Anthony Fox with a specific mandate to be the face of the city, and he was. He was out. He talked to the media a lot. He was on this program a lot, and then suddenly he was no longer here because I think the makeup of council changed, and they didn't want somebody else to be the face of the city. I could be wrong about that, but that's the impression that I was left with. Our newest city manager, Marcus Jones, does not make himself available to anybody, to the media, ever. He's never been on this program. He will not come on this program. Given our structure where the city manager actually wields more power than the mayor, shouldn't the city manager make himself available?
Well, that's a conversation you need to have with Marcus Jones. But I will say that he has been in the community a tremendous amount. We had those meet and eat meetings all over the city. He was every one of those. He has been at community conversations. He's been connected to the business community. I have seen him in all kinds of meetings and convenings around the city. And that is what he has felt is a priority, mm-hmm. to connect with the community. And he has a great reputation in that community. I think he's done a great job. We just gave him a 6% raise.
Yeah.
And that was, again, almost unanimous.
So where do you go from here? I mean, once the mantle of leadership is temporarily at least surrendered, where do you go? What do you do? Do you have any political aspirations? Are you just going to kick back for a couple of months before you figure out what's next or what?
A lot of people have been asking me to do a lot of things. I've been having conversations and meetings with different people, and I am taking all that into account. I have promised my family that I'm going to wait at least 2 months before I say yes, because they haven't seen a whole lot of me in the last many years, and they're a pretty nice family. They're doing great things, and I want.
Do you remember
their
names?
Yeah. They're a very talented family, and their support has been tremendous for me. So I'm going to take those 2 months before I say yes. I am speaking at some conferences in the spring, including South by Southwest, talking about some great things the city's doing. So I'll continue to advocate, and when I'm ready to say yes to one of those offers, I'll let you know.
Jennifer Roberts, thank you for your time this morning. Thank you for 2 years of work and all the years you put in on County Council and County Commission. I mean, City Council and County Commission before that. Thanks.
Thank you so much, and to all the folks in Charlotte, it's been an honor to serve. This is a fantastic city, and it really gets that name, the Queen City, by being just a leader in so many ways. But it is the fabric of our community that just has made me so proud to be able to serve.
Mayor Jennifer Roberts, thanks very much.